Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Configuration of SSL with WebSphere MQ and Diagnostic Hints and Tips. Today's presenters are Beverly Kingsley and Ezra Turner. Beverly is an experienced support software engineer working with the IBM WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team in Raleigh, North Carolina. Beverly joined IBM 21 years ago after spending 5 years at ExxonMobil as an IMS systems programmer. She has a wealth of mainframe experience, having worked with the IBM COX Kix Level 2 support team for 8 years before moving to MQ. Her support background and her 13 years in MQ give her the skills to effectively diagnose all types of WebSphere MQ problems. Everett is a Start Software Engineer on the WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team located in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Everett has been providing technical support for the WebSphere MQ product running on distributed platforms for the past 5 years. Everett has worked for IBM for the past 10 years, ranging from development to test, and is now working customer support. Everett has given several presentations on utilizing SSL within WebSphere MQ. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Beverly and Everett.
Thank you, Joseph, and good day, everyone. I hope all had the opportunity to listen to the basic SSL presentation given by Everett last week. Today's presentation assumes you have experience working with WebSphere MQ and that you need information implementing MQ with SSL. So let's go to the agenda on page 2. WebSphere MQ does not use all the functions offered by the Secure Sockets layer. We will discuss those functions of SSL that MQ does use. It will then show you how to configure WebSphere MQ to use SSL and ZOS, and then Everett will show you how it is configured on Windows and Unix platforms. Every platform has its own methods for generating certificate requests and for developing and managing received certificates. Regardless of this, the resulting certificate is platform independent. This means a certificate can be requested on any platform and FTP'd to any other platform as required. I will show you how to do it on ZOS, and Everett will show you how to do it on Windows and Unix platforms. Then I will discuss some diagnostic hints and tips that you can use to help resolve problems using SSL with WebSphere MQ. Next slide, 3. How WebSphere MQ uses SSL. SSL is used in WebSphere MQ to perform link-level encryption and queue-manager-to-queue-manager authentication. This means that your messages are encrypted, and when they are moved across the network, they are not encrypted when they reside on your queues. Link-level security refers to those security services that are invoked directly or indirectly or by an MCA, the communication subsystem, or a combination of the two working together. The three main issues that SSL addresses and which MQ uses are data integrity, confidentiality, and authentication. For data integrity, we have the hash function, which is the way of producing a small fixed size number that is representation of the message being delivered. The message can be checked at the receiving end of the tunnel to determine whether its contents have been deliberately modified while it was being transmitted over the network. This provides a means of detecting tampering. For confidentiality, we have symmetric or shared key encryption, which is a relatively fast encryption but has problems stemmed from the need to keep the key completely secret. Only the partners exchanging information can know the key. or the encryption can be broken. This type of key is also known as a secret key. A message can be encrypted at the sending end of the channel and decrypted at the receiving end. For authentication, we have digital certificates, asymmetric keys, and certificate revocation lists. By encrypting the hash value using the private key, and the sender creates what is known as a digital certificate. The receiver checks that the digital signature is valid by decrypting it using the corresponding public key pair to obtain the sender's hash value. This value is then compared to a hash value for the message received, which has been calculated by the receiver. If the values match, the message has not been tampered with, and the origin of the message can be trusted. So asymmetric or public key encryption has the benefit that the public key portion of the public-private key pair can be published to anyone to use the encrypt information to be sent to the remote key manager. The remote key manager can then use the private key algorithm to decrypt the information. In this case, there is a public key known to all and a private key only known to you. WebCRNQ makes use of certificate revocation lists to search for certificates being used by the NQ network that have been revoked either because the certificate has expired or because it has been canceled, become invalid, or compromised. On the next slide, 4, I will briefly hand the presentation to Everett to continue this topic.
Thank you, Beverly. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this morning's webcast. We will now take an in-depth look at how WebSphere-MQ uses SSL. All network communications in WebSphere-MQ is performed across a channel. The term channel is used regularly within WebSphere-MQ terminology. A channel is an established network communication link between two queue managers or between a client application and a queue manager. A channel between two queue managers over which messages can flow is referred to as a message channel. A channel between a client application and a queue manager over which MQI calls are issued is referred to as a client channel or MQI channel. Every channel in WebSphere-MQ is a network link between two message channel agents, or MCAs. Message channels and MQI channels can use the SSL protocol to provide link-level security. Digital certificates are stored in a key repository. For WebSphere-MQ server and the WebSphere-MQ client, the IBM Global Security Kit, or GSKit tool, is used to create the key repository. Non-Java components must use key repositories of type CMS as their certificate management system. Java client programs using MQ classes or a PubSub JMS configuration must use a key repository of type JKS. We will not discuss the JKS Java Key Store configuration in this presentation. Tandem and OVM platform store their certificates and keys in a certificate store in a PEM or PEM format. WebSphere-MQ running on ZOS mainframe can use RACF, Top Secret, or ACS2 to store their keys and certificates. WebSphere-MQ running on iSeries uses the Digital Certificate Manager, or DCM tool, to manage its keys and certificates. In this presentation, we will be looking at the WebSphere-MQ SSL setup on the ZOS mainframe using RACF and the WebSphere-MQ SSL setup on Unix and Windows using the IBM Global Security Kit's iKeyman. Before going into our SSL setup, let's take a quick look at how two MCAs establish a connection channel. Next page, slide 5. If you joined or reviewed the Introduction to Secure Sockets Layer, SSL Basics webcast, you remember that it referred to two individuals, Bob and Alice. Bob was the sender, also referred to as the client, and Alice was the receiver, or the server. The client, Bob, could connect to the server, Alice, as a queue manager, referred to above as queue manager 1, or he could connect to Alice directly as an application. In either case, the MCA, or message channel agent, is started and contacts the partner over the Internet. The partner, or receiver side, referred to in the illustration above as queue manager 2, has a listener, or channel initiator on ZOS, listening for an incoming connection request. When the server receives the incoming connection request, it creates an MCA to accept the connection. The two MCAs negotiate to establish a channel connection. The two MCAs take their attributes from the channel objects defined in the channel definition. SSL is initiated by specifying parameters within the channel definitions, which the MCAs use to negotiate the channel connection during the SSL handshake. In today's presentation, we will show the channel attributes used to establish the SSL connection and also show how to utilize RACF on ZOS and GSKit on Windows and Unix to manage the SSL certificates and keys. We will proceed to the next slide on page 6, where Beverly will discuss configuring WebSphere MQ to use SSL on ZOS.
On page slide 6, I will discuss the ZOS changes required to enable WebSphere MQ to use SSL on ZOS. SSL support is integral to the operating system, and on ZOS, this support is known as System SSL. On ZOS, digital certificates and keys are stored on a key ring and or repository that is managed by your external security manager through the ZOS system authorization facility interface, commonly known as SAF. The main external security managers are RACF, Resource Access Control Facility, Top Secret, and ACS2, Access Control Facility 2. All examples used throughout this presentation are with using the IBM's RACF commands. The equivalent commands are available in CA's Top Secret and ACS2 products. To issue these commands, your user ID need to have the appropriate authority. If you want to use the secure sockets layer for channel security, there are a number of tasks you need to perform to set this up on your ZOS system. You need to create a key ring in RACF to hold all the keys and certificates for your WebSphere MQ system. For example, use the RACF RACDCERT command, RACDCERT ID add ring, where user ID 1 is the user ID of the chinit or the channel initiator, and key name is the name of the key ring or key repository. The queue manager can share a key ring, in which case the user ID 1 would be the shared user ID or have its own key ring. On the next slide, page 7, the chinit procedure must have access to System SSL Runtime Library, SIEALNKE. The library must be authorized, APF authorized, and accessible via the linked list or LPA or via the supply DD statement. You need to ensure that the chinit user ID has read access to profile IRR, dict cert, list ring, in the Rakesh facility class. Next slide, please. System SSL uses the Integrated Cryptographic Service Facility, ICSF, if it is available. It checks for the hardware support during its runtime initialization processing and will use the hardware support if it is there. If a severe ICSF error occurs during a cryptographic operation, System SSL will stop using the hardware support and will revert to using the software algorithms. You have the option on ZOS Queue Manager to store the private key of its personal certificate in ICSF. If you use this option, you must permit the Chinit user ID read access to these profiles listed here. In the Rakesh CSS serve class, either explicitly or through a generic resource profile. On the next slide, 9, moving on to what is required to configure the queue manager itself to use SSL. You need to alter the queue manager definition to use SSL. The SSL TR and SSL task attributes are required to turn on SSL on the queue manager. Use the SSL TR attribute to point the queue manager to the location of the key ring on the Rakesh database, and the SSL tax attribute to define the TCBs and server subtags that only handle SSL calls, which leaves the normal dispatchers to continue processing as normal without being impacted by any SSL calls. You must at least have two of these subtasks. Use the SSLR TC attribute to define the number of bytes to be sent and received within the SSL conversation before the secret key is renegotiated. Optionally, you can set up the queue manager to use certificate revocation lists, or CRLs, via the SSL CRLNL attribute. This is a list of revoked certificates that can no longer be trusted and is tracked by the certification authority. CRLs are stored in lightweight directory access protocol servers known as LDAP servers. To access this list and the LDAP server, you first need to create an auth info object of auth type CRL LDAP using the Webster NQ define auth info command. Next, put your auth info object into a nameless using the Webster NQ define nameless command, and finally, associate this nameless with the queue manager by specifying the SSL CRLNL attribute. On ZOS, you can only have one auth info object, and currently, Webster NQ only works with CRLs held on LDAP servers in ZOS. LDAP can be on any platform. It is network attached, even if it is on ZOS platform. There is an alternative to this on the Windows and Unix platform and the V7 Queue Manager using OCSP, Online Certificate Status Protocol. It is not a trivial task to configure LDAP servers. So support patch MQ01 can help you to configure LDAP servers and Windows and Unix platforms. So on slide 10, I will discuss how to configure channels and ZOS to use SSL. To use SSL on a channel, you must first make sure that the channel can start successfully before enabling SSL. To enable SSL on the channel, you only need to specify the cipher specification attribute SSL CIPH. Optionally, you can use the SSL pair attribute to check the distinguished name of the certificate from the pair queue manager or client at the other end of the Webster NQ channel. If the distinguished name received from the pair certificate does not match the SSL pair value, the channel will not start. This is known as distinguished name filtering and is useful to limit connections to certain queue managers. SSL auth attribute is also optional. It can set to one of two values, required or optional. You can use it to specify two-way authentication with an SSL client if required is specified. The term SSL client and SSL server should not be confused with SSL with MQ client and server terminology. Simply put, the SSL client is the initiator of the conversation, analogous to the sender side of the MQ channel, and the SSL server is the recipient, analogous to the receiver side of the MQ channel. If optional is specified on the SSL auth attributes, the SSL server certificate is authenticated during the initial connection by the SSL client. This is referred to as one-way authentication. Two-way authentication is the additional authentication of the SSL client certificate by the SSL server during the initial handshaking. Two-way authentication is most likely to be used with queue manager to queue manager connections. Enabling SSL on a cluster channel is more complex than on a non-cluster channel because of the automatic definition of cluster channels and the number of queue managers involved in the change. This requires a separate presentation. So to help you to get started, this URL points to an article written by Ian Vanstone, a Westphare MQ developer in Hursley, on how to enable SSL channels in an existing Westphare MQ queue manager cluster. Next slide, 11. This is an example of the sender and receiver pair with the only mandatory parameter, cipher spec, to be used by the channel. The same cipher spec must be specified at both ends of the channel for SSL session to be successfully established. The encryption algorithm chosen is a triple DES star US, which has 168-bit level of encryption supported both by ZOS and the distributed platforms. And of course, you need to define an ethnic queue to associate the SSL channel with. This completes the ZOS configuration portion of the presentation. On the next slide, 12, I will pass the presentation over to Everett to show you how this is done on Windows and Unix platforms.
All right. Thank you again, Beverly. All right, I'll proceed on with configuring WebSphere MQ to use SSL on Windows and Unix. WebSphere MQ allows channels of all types to be secured using SSL. This includes distributed message channels, cluster message channels, and client channels. Prior to enabling WebSphere MQ SSL support, make sure your channels are in a running status. There are three main channel attributes associated with SSL. These match up identically as on the ZOS platform. They are, one, SSL CIFE. A channel is configured to require SSL authentication by specifying a cipher spec string in the SSL cipher specification, SSL CIPH, attribute of the channel object. The name of the cipher spec indicates the encryption algorithm and message authentication code, or MAC. That MAC algorithm is used after the channel is established. Different cipher specs provide different levels of security and performance. Only one cipher spec can be specified for a channel. Therefore, this must match the cipher spec specified on the partner channel. Two, SSL peer. When the SSL peer attribute is specified, additional certificate checking is done on the receiver certificate. During the SSL handshake, the SSL peer pattern filters the distinguished name attributes in the certificate and checks them against the pattern specified on the SSL peer channel definition. For initial SSL setup, you should leave the SSL peer attribute blank. 3. SSL CAuth. This specifies whether the SSL server requests a certificate from the SSL client. SSL CAuth required means the SSL server wants the client certificate. This is referred to as two-way authentication. SSL CAuth optional means the SSL server does not want the client certificate. This is referred to as one-way authentication. Initially, the SSL CAuth parameter should be set to optional, not requiring a certificate from the client. This will make it for easier setup initiation. Next slide, page 13. For WebSphere MQ on Unix and Windows, the SSL support is installed with WebSphere MQ. To manage SSL keys and certificates, a key repository is required. WebSphere MQ version 6 and WebSphere MQ version 7 installs the IBM Global Security Kit, referred to as GSKit, for digital certificate creation and management. GSKit provides a GUI interface called iKeyMan, IBM Key Management Utility. The iKeyMan GUI is Java-based and needs a JDK or JRE to run. The minimum JDK levels for iKeyMan support are AIX 1.1.6 or above, or 1.1.8. For the Windows platform, 1.1.8 JDK level is required. For HP UX, Linux, or Solaris, JDK level of 1.1.7 is required for iKeyMan support. Next slide, page 14. On Windows and Solaris, the GSKit libraries are installed as part of the SSL component. The JRE already comes included. To run the GSK7 command or GSK7 CAPI command, the command line interface, set your path environment variables to include user/bin and bin, as the example above shows. Additionally, in order to run GSK7 command, CMD commands, you must set your java_home environment variable according to your operating system. If you want to be able to run iKeyMan from any directory, add the path environment variable as listed above. To start the iKeyMan GUI from Windows, issue strmqikm at the command prompt. To start the iKeyMan GUI from Unix, issue gsk7ikm. Now, let's take a look at the iKeyMan GUI. Next page, slide 15. A key database is a file that the server uses to store one or more key pairs and certificates. You can use one key database for all your key pairs and certificates, or create multiple databases. Here is the IBM Key Management GUI. Once open, you have a choice of creating a new key database, or you can open an already existing key database. You can manipulate what you want to do in the iKeyMan GUI from the buttons on the right side of the panel. Next slide, page 16. Use the following procedure to create a new key database file for either a QManager or a WebSphere MQ client. 1. Start the iKeyMan GUI using the gsk7ikm command on Unix or the strmqikm command on Windows. From the Key Database File menu, click New. The new window is displayed. Click Key Database Type and click CMS, Certificate Management System. In the File Name field, type a file name. This field already contains the text key.kdb. If your stem name is key, leave this field unchanged. If you have specified a different stem name, replace key with your stem name, but you must not change the .kdb. In the location field, type the path name. For example, for a queue manager in Unix, /var/mqm/queue managers qm1/ssl. Or for Windows, c:\programfiles/ibm/websphere_mq/queue managers/qm1/ssl. For a WebSphere MQ client, var/mqssl is the directory on Unix. And for Windows, c:\mqm/ssl. Then click Open. The password prompt window displays. Next slide, page 17. In the password prompt dialog box, enter a password. Then enter to confirm your password. You must check the stash box and click OK. You will then see a confirmation indicating that your password has been encrypted and the location where it has been stashed. In your current directory, you should now have 4 files, key.kdb, key.rdb, key.crl, and key.sth. Key.kdb is your CMS key database. Key.rdb is your temporary storage location for certificate requests. Key.crl is your certificate revocation list. And key.sth is your encrypted, stashed key database password. Next slide, page 18. If you have previously created a key database, you would follow similar instructions as when creating a new key database. Select key database file from the main GUI, select Open. In the Open dialog box, enter your key database name or click key.kdb if you are using the default. Click OK. In the password prompt box, enter your correct password and click OK. The key database opens, and you will see the key database name in the text box. Next slide, page 19. Once your key database has been created or opened, you will be looking at a list of your pre-installed CA signer certificates. Here is a partial list of the CA certificates and their associated public keys. The CA signer certificates are considered as trusted authorities for signing certificates. This list will grow as trusted signer certificates are added. The buttons on the left side is how you add CA certificates. Delete CA certificates, view or edit a CA certificate, or extract a CA certificate. Next slide, page 20. To store a certificate from a CA who is not a trusted CA, select signer certificates in the key database content frame, then click the Add button. In the Add CA certificate from a file dialog box, select the Base64 encoded ASCII data certificate file name or use the Browse option, then click OK. In the Label dialog box, enter a label name and click OK. This can be any label name, but should describe the CA who sent the certificate. I will now turn the presentation back over to Beverly.
Thanks, Everett. And now I will discuss how to obtain a certificate, distribute it, and then manage it. There are several approaches to obtain the queue manager's digital personal certificate, depending on whether it's for test or production environment. For production, you would want to request it from an external certification authority. CA sign certificate costs money. So for a test environment, you probably would not want to use this option. For production, you may be using SSL connections outside of your organization. Both parties would then require a certificate from the same trusted external certification authority. If you use an external CA, use the RockB cert in batch or RockB cert from the ISPS RECF panel to create a TKCS number 10 base support encoded certificate request to a data set. And since these digital certificates have labeled names which associate them with the queue manager, the label name and ZOS must be in the form, mixed case, WebSphere MQ plus the four-character queue manager name or the queue sharing group name if the channel is shared. User ID 2 is a Chinit user ID. You then send the data set to the certification authority to request a new personal certificate. When the signed certificate is returned to you by the CA, you will need to add the certificate back into the RECF database using the original label name. The data set must be cataloged and not be a partition data set or a member of a PDF. The record format expected by RECF is variable black. RECF dynamically allocates and opens the data set and reads the certificate from it as binary data. Next slide, 22. You then need to connect the queue manager personal certificate to the key ring as shown here. User ID 1 is the user ID of the channel initiator or owner of the shared key ring if it is shared, and user ID 2 is the user ID associated with the certificate and must be the user ID of the channel initiator address space. To avoid confusion, try to keep them the same. You need to ensure that a copy of the CA certificate used to sign queue manager personal certificates is on the key ring. The RECF database is preloaded with all the common CA certificates. So to make the CA certificates usable by the queue manager, you should connect them to the key ring. Use the RockB cert connect option with usage cert off for the CA certificates. Next slide, 23. In a test environment, RECF can generate its own CA certificate, which you can use to create and sign a queue manager personal certificate. Use this option for testing SSL, as it costs nothing. To do that, you create a digital certificate for the queue manager using the RECF RockB cert utility to generate a self-signed certificate with a key usage of cert-sign, which indicates this is a signer and therefore a CA certificate. Then connect this RECF CA certificate to the keyring using the RECF RockB cert example given here. Next slide, 24. Now use the RECF CA certificate previously created to generate and sign the queue manager personal certificate. Note that we signed the certificate using the CA certificate label. Then connect the newly generated personal certificate to the queue manager queue ring using usage personal. Next slide, 25. Another simpler option for a test environment is to use a self-signed queue manager personal certificate. This does not require any CA certificate. However, you will need to distribute the self-signed personal certificate to the partner for authentication. The only way to authenticate a self-signed certificate is to have a copy of it. Self-signed means both the issuer and the subject name are the same. You then need to connect the certificate to the keyring using usage personal. As previously mentioned, user ID 1 is the user ID of the channel initiator or owner of the shared key ring, if the ring is shared, and user ID 2 is the user ID associated with the certificate and must be the user ID of the channel initiator address space. To avoid confusion, try to keep them the same. These three methods are recommended ways to generate and obtain certificates. On the next slide, 26, I will talk about how they are deployed or distributed. The CA certificate used to sign the queue manager personal certificate will need to be distributed to the platforms where all its signed certificates will be authenticated. And ZOS, all certificates, goes into a key ring. In order to distribute or deploy the certificate, you write the cert to put it to a data set. This process formats or encodes the certificate to prevent tampering during the FTP process. However, these CA public certificates do not need a high level of encoding, so you can choose the default of CERT B64 with a DIR encoding X.59. That is in base 64 format, which is text format. Text formats must be transported as text, and if transported between an ASCII and EPSIDIC system, the ASCII to EPSIDIC translation must be performed. From the dataset, this certificate can be FTP'd to any other platform using ASCII since it's in text format. Now, in order to distribute the queue manager digital certificate, use RUTLY cert to put them to a dataset. This process format encodes the certificate to prevent tampering during FTP process. These personal certificates do need a high level of encoding and must also be password protected. So you need to choose DIR encoding, for example, PKCS12, which is in binary format. Note PKCS number 12 files contain personal certificates and optionally its private key and CA certificate for its signing CA. From the dataset, this certificate can be FTP'd to any other platform using BIN since it's in binary format. At the other end, use tools appropriate to that platform to import the certificate correctly. If on another ZOS system, use RUTLY cert or its equivalent in Top Secret or ACS2. Next slide, 27. Now that you have the queue manager and its CA certificate, you will need to manage them as your WebSphere MQ environment expands. There are documented tech notes and procedures for managing certificates. For example, expiry dates, revoke list, example, your business partner gone out of business, etc. And ZOS, you can use CRLs from the external CA store and our LDAP server. All LDAP servers must be accessed using the same user ID and password on ZOS. The user ID and password used are those specified in the auth info object in the name list. You can develop your own tool to detect when the certificate is about to expire. So if the key ring has been updated or key ring name or the CRL name list has changed, then to bring it in to bring in the change dynamically, use the refresh security type SSL command. This will cause all running SSL channels to stop and then restart it. If no refresh is needed, the command completes successfully without affecting the channels. This is in contrast to the distributed platforms where the SSL refresh SSL command updates all SSL channels whether a refresh is required or not. You can display the channel SSL pair value if used to see the distinguished name, which must match at least generically the DN, and the pair certificate. If it doesn't match, the channel will not start. Slide 28. This is a list of some useful racket commands that you can use to investigate the key ring and its contents, except for the first command, which is the racf delete command, which you can use to delete a certificate from the key ring. The equivalent top secret and HTF commands are stated in TechNote 1205523. Now, to talk about how it is done in Windows and Unix, I'll turn the presentation over to Everett on slide 29.
Thanks again, Beverly. All right, slide 29, obtaining SSL certificates on Windows and Unix. Key pairs and certificate requests are also stored in a key database. To create a public-private key pair and certificate request, select Key Database File from the main GUI, then select Open. In the Open dialog box, enter your key database name or click on key.kdb if you're using the default. Click OK. In the Password Prompt dialog box, enter your correct password and click OK. Select the Personal Certificate Request tab and click on New. In the New Key and Certificate Request dialog box, enter Key Label. The key label must be IBM WebSphere MQ, followed by the name of your queue manager changed to lowercase. For example, for QM1, IBM WebSphere MQ QM1. For a WebSphere MQ client on Unix or Windows system, the certificate key label must be IBM WebSphere MQ followed by your logon user ID changed to lowercase. For example, IBM WebSphere MQ My User ID. Once you've opened the certificate request, then you proceed to fill out the regular information that is required. Organization name, organizational unit, which is optional, locality, which is also optional, state and province, which is also optional, your zip code, which is also optional, the country, enter a country code and specify at least 2 characters, for example, US. Enter a certificate request file name or use the default name. Click OK. In the information dialog box, click OK. You are reminded to send the file to a certificate authority. Next slide. You can also use iKeyMan to create a self-signed server certificate. You would use this procedure if you are acting as your own CA for a private web network. To create a self-signed certificate, select Personal Certificates in the Key Database Content Frame and click the New Self-Sign button. In the Create New Self-Signed Certificate dialog box, enter Key Label. Enter a descriptive comment used to identify the key and certificate in the database. The key size, the common name, enter a fully qualified host name of the web server as the common name. For example, www.myserver.com. The organization name, organizational unit, again, is optional. Locality, also optional. State, province, optional, zip code, optional, country, enter a country code, and specify again at least 2 characters, for example, U.S., and then you also see there the validity period of the certificate, which in this case is defaulted to 365 days. I would also like to make an added note that this information that you see that you're actually adding to this screen is what the SSL peer checks when this certificate comes in during the SSL handshake. So if you do have an SSL peer parameter specified, then these are the locations of the parameters that the SSL handshake is checking for to make sure that the certificate that's coming in is matching up to the certificate it's expecting to be received. All right, moving on to the next slide, slide 31. It usually takes 2 to 3 weeks to get a certificate from a CA and the accompanying public key back from a well-known CA or certificate authority. The certificate authority may send more than one certificate. In addition to the certificates for your server, the CA may also send additional signing certificate, or otherwise known as intermediate CA certificates. For example, VeriSign includes an intermediate CA certificate when sending a global server ID certificate. Before receiving the server certificate, receive any additional intermediate CA certificates first. Note, if the CA who issued your CA signed certificate is not a trusted CA in the key database, you must first store the CA certificate and designate the CA as a trusted CA. Then you can receive your CA signed certificates into the key database. You cannot receive a CA signed certificate from a CA who is not a trusted CA. Next page, slide 32. In this slide, these are the instructions to import personal certificates and keys to it for another key database. This file is password protected. The resulting file can then be distributed to your partner. So if you had created a PKCS12 or you had keys that you needed to distribute to the ZOS platform, you would then follow these instructions to export the key. Next slide, page 33. These are similar instructions. These are the instructions for exporting the PKCS12 file. These are the file instructions that will help you generate a PKCS file, and this file is actually the file that you would be able to export to the ZOS queue manager or counterpart. This PKCS12 key file is password protected, because it contains the certificate and the public-private key pairs. Next slide, page 34. The opposite of the export command is the import command. If receiving a file from a partner, like ZOS or another platform, and it needs to be imported into your key database, follow these instructions for importing the key. Next page, slide 35. This slide shows the instructions for importing a PKCS12 file. Files, again, received from the partner ZOS machine will probably be sent in a PKCS number 10, which is ASCII, or PKCS number 12, which is binary type format. You will follow these instructions to import it into your key database. Next page, slide 36. This slide shows how to get a listing of all the signer certificates in your key database. These will be your trusted signer certificates. Make sure your partner certificate is listed in the listing. You can also use these instructions to view personal certificates and certificate requests as well. Next page, slide 37. This slide shows how to list the default keys in your key database. Here again, you'd select the key database file from the main GUI and select Open. Provide your password in the dialog box. Select Personal Certificates in the key database content frame, and then select the CA certificate label name, which is in the personal certificates database. Click the View Edit button and view the certificate's default key information in the key information window. Next slide, page 38. This is a common trick that is known to very few users, but it will also help you to be able to view your digital certificates. Certificates can be viewed by copying the binary .cer or .dir file to a Windows desktop and then double-clicking on the certificate icon on the Windows desktop. There, you will see general information about the certificate. The certificate should open up to the Windows view that is shown here. You can see then some basic certificate information. This certificate here is intended for the following purposes. It proves your identity to the remote computer. It ensures the identity of the remote computer. And then you also have the serial number identified with the certificate. You also have listed on this view is who this certificate was issued to. In this case, this was issued to VeriSign as a public key and a public certificate, and it was issued by VeriSign as a Class 3 public primary certificate authority. Then you also have the validity date or expiry date, which you see for this particular certificate, it was good from 4/16/1997. To 10/24/2016. So this is a view, again, of one of the public CA certificates that's listed in your trusted key database. Then you can move on to the next slide. If you click on the details part of the tab, then you move into and be able to view other information about this particular certificate. Notice the public key that's associated with this certificate. So you will be able to view the public key, and then you see the actual encrypted public key information there at the bottom. Next slide. And then finally, on the last tab is the certification tab. The certification path tab here, you can view the path or certificate chain from the selected certificate. This tells the certificate authorities that issued the certificate. And here you can also, if you have intermediate certificates or several other certificates, signing certificates, you will also be able to view the complete certificate chain in this view. So this would be very good to know if you have problems starting your channel and it's saying that it's missing a CA certificate, you might want to check this panel to see the certificate chain and make sure you have all the CA certificates that are listed in this certificate chain in your signer certificate database under IKEYMAN. And that completes this part of the presentation. On to the next slide. In this slide here, what I have shown is basically a typical Unix QManager configuration connecting to a ZOS QManager configuration. This is basically a view of the configuration that Beverly and I have displayed to you today and showed you how to set up. Basically, what we see here is the AIX QManager, which is the Unix side. This AIX QManager has a sender channel that's connected to a ZOS QManager on the other side, which already had a receiver channel set up and a port. All we did in order to access or enable SSL was add the SSL CIFE parameter in the channel definition. So on the sender side, you see I've added des_sha_export as my SSL CIFE parameter. And then on the receiver side, the matching des_sha_export SSL CIFE parameter. And then because the receiver is the server side, the receiver also must state the SSL CAuth parameter, which can be optional or required. In this case, I also suggest that you list it and start it off as optional, even though the default is required, because optional will only do one-way authentication, meaning the client will only ask for the server certificate, but the server will not, therefore, ask for the client certificate. Also on this screen, you can also see for AIX, there to the lower left-hand side, we use the IBM Global Security Kit, which is GSKit. in there for this particular queue manager. I've created a personal certificate of queue manager Everett. I've sent it to my outside CA authority called Kenny, and now that personal certificate is listed in my key database. Also under there, I have the signer certificate of CA Calvin. I'll keep that in mind as I move over to Beverly's side of the queue manager. Then also notice at the lower left-hand corner, you see the personal certificate request. At this time, there was no personal certificate request. On the ZOS queue manager side on Beverly, you see her SSL support is given through IBM RackF and a key ring. Here, Beverly has created a queue manager called Beverly. That's her personal certificate, and it's signed by CA Calvin. Since Beverly's personal certificate was signed by CA Calvin, the AIX queue manager, Everett, has to have CA Calvin listed under his trusted signer certificates, and that will authenticate for one-way authentication. If we were doing two-way authentication when you change SSL CAuth to require, then it would require that the client send over their personal certificate, which is queue manager Everett's certificate, in order for Beverly to verify queue manager Everett's certificate that was signed by CA Kenny. Beverly has to have CA Kenny installed or connected to her key ring to provide authority for the personal certificate that will be sent over on the SSL handshake from Everett. And then on lower left, on the lower right-hand corner, you also see other CA certificates that might be stored in Beverly's IBM RackF key ring. So that's the total configuration for Unix queue manager to ZOS queue manager and what is needed. Next slide. Okay, and finally, this slide here is a typical Windows client configuration connecting to a ZOS queue manager. This has the same basic setup except for on the ZOS queue manager side, a client-con, server-con channel was set up. The client-con portion of the channel definition was FTP'd over to the Windows MQ client. The MQ channel, client channel table points to the server connection. MQ SSL key R points to where the SSL key ring or the key database is located. And the MQ channel live parameter points to where the MQ channel table is located. Again, to establish or enable SSL on a client to queue manager connection, on the client-con, server-con channel, you must put the SSL CIFE parameter. Again, they must both match. Here you see on the client-con side, you have DES underscore SHA underscore export as the SSL CIFE. And then on the queue manager side or the receiver side, you have DES underscore SHA underscore export. Again, on the receiver server side, you must specify the SSL CAuth for authentication purposes, and that again can be set to either optional or to required. And again, it is specified that you should set it to optional prior to trying to go forward with required. Again, for the SSL portion, you see the same here under IBM Global Security Kit. We've used this time a self-signed certificate on the receiver side. So the self-signed certificate was signed by CA Harry. So then the CA Harry needs to be extracted from the key ring and sent to the IBM Global Certificate, to the IBM Global Security Kit or the GSKIT side. And then I'd need to add that CA certificate Harry into my key database in order for authentication to take place. And that's basically a Windows client to ZOS queue manager configuration. All right, and that concludes my part of the presentation, and we'll go back to Beverly for SSL channel diagnostics, hints, and tips. Next slide, page 43.
Thanks, Everett. I just want to talk a little bit here about SSL channel diagnostics, hints, and tips. Since getting SSL configured across channels often results in errors and the channel won't start, the recommendation is to always to start with the simplest configuration, and once it's working, then add more options as required. or consider using the WebCRMQ SSL configuration wizard supplied in support pack M04. This generates both request commands and the distributed commands. Okay. You can use support pack MH03, the SSL configuration checker that looks for common setup mistakes on Windows and Unix platforms. Use SSL auth equal optional to start with. Be careful with this, as the default is required, which requires the SSL client certificate to be authenticated by the server. Use self-signed certificates to begin with for testing, as it costs nothing. Next slide, 44. If the start of the SSL channel fails, then there will be an error issued to the Chinook job log if on ZOS, or to the NQ error logs if on distributed platforms. Always carefully check the contents of the SSL link key repository to make sure that the required certificates on either side of the connection are available for authentication. CA certificates can be a part of a chain of signings. The chain or path begins with the certificate of the queue manager or client, and each certificate in the chain is signed by the entity identified by the next certificate in the chain. The chain terminates with a root CA certificate. The certificates are the signatures of all certificates in the chain must be verified until the root CA certificate is reached. As we have stated repeatedly during this presentation, both ends of the channel must specify the same site specification for the SSL channel to start successfully. Next slide, 45. To help you understand if the SSL channel failure is during handshake or there is a problem at the key repository level, be familiar with the handshake logic documentation in the WebSphere MQ security manual. The following URL points to a Hersley blog that lists the common WebSphere MQ CSQX and AMQ SSL error messages, how to analyze the errors, and the solution to it. There are must-gather tech notes to help you troubleshoot MQ SSL problems on the different platforms. If you cannot resolve this yourself, please call WebSphere MQ support supplying the documentation requested in the tech note. The tech note also has the procedure and how to submit documentation to the support center. On the next page, 46. This lists some useful URLs. You can search for known problems from the WebSphere support homepage, the URLs to the WebSphere MQ information centers, the ESL tools that you can use to submit electronic PMRs to us, the URL in order to order the WebSphere MQ product, as well as the Z-Series process to order Z products. If you are upgrading your system, refer to the PSP bucket URL to check for known issues, such as cross-product dependency information. On the next page, 47, I will turn the presentation back to Everett.
Thank you, Beverly. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to a webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the NQ notifications link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly emails, updates for products of interest to you. This concludes the presentation on WebSphere MQ for ZOS Windows and Unix SSL configuration, and some diagnostic hints and tips. I will now turn the webcast back over to Joseph.
At this point, Julie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Brent Henson, you may ask your question.
The question is, how do you go about moving from a non-SSL to an SSL environment? Do you create a separate set of channels using SSL and thereby not interfering with existing environment?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Henson. How you doing? This is Everett Turner here. I guess I could go ahead and answer that question for you. No. The way that you do it is you enable SSL on your existing channels. Basically, the only way that you could do it is you should have, again, already pre-established network channels working up and running. And, again, it depends on the application or what's on the sender and receiver side. In this presentation, what we were talking about was specifically WebSphere MQ. And for WebSphere MQ, we have channel objects or channel definitions, and then to turn on SSL through those channel definitions, you just have to put a cipher spec in the channel definition on the SSL cipher parameter on both sides of the channel, and then that enables SSL. So did that answer your question, or were you speaking more specifically to some other kind of channels?
No, it does answer my question. You do have perhaps, you know, different applications and different traffic going to and from. So these are, you might have some double usage on having both SSL and non-SSL activated on. But I understand that you probably have to scope that out.
Yeah, you should have pre-existing channels set up. That's the way SSLs work. It's on a channel-by-channel basis. So you shouldn't have non-encrypted or non-SSL information running on SSL channel. So, yeah, but the channels have to be set up separately, so you probably do have to, like you said, scope it out.
Thank you.
Yes, as long as you define an exit queue, you can associate any channel associated with that exit queue, and you can separate the applications like that.
Okay.
Graciela Bautista, you may ask your question.
Oh, yes. Hello. This is Grace Bautista. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to ask you, now, is there any documentation where we can find all the links that you have provided in the presentation?
Yes. If you go on the WebSphere MQ homepage, the very first link on that useful web page, you can find links to everything you need to know about MQ.
Even the links that you have provided here, right?
Right. From that homepage, those same links can be accessed from that homepage.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Rana, you may ask your question.
I'd like to ask a question regarding the CA certificate. So we have a list of trusted certificates provided by the default, mm-hmm. like most of them VeriSign and Thought and all.
Right.
But if we want to use a certification authority, which is not part of these trusted certificates already in the database, do we have to exchange those signer certificates externally by way of FTP or something with the partners?
Right, absolutely. That's exactly what you do. You'd have to exchange the CA signer certificates with the partners and then use the add command to add them to your signer key database. So you should see the added ones in your list with the already pre-installed CA signers.
Okay, would they have to raise a request? Because when I send a signer certificate to them, they will have to add that certificate to their database. But for that, would they have to raise a request before? Because sometimes I've seen that it doesn't allow you to add unless you have raised a request already in the database.
Right. Well, it depends on, again, what side. Now, if the certificate is for your side, you're creating a personal certificate for your side, the CA that signed your personal certificate needs to be added to their key database. Now, before they send you one, they might do a certificate request. And that certificate request actually generates a certificate for them, and that request is sent to another CA or somebody, VeriSign, or somebody would sign that and send it back to them. Then once they have to receive that back into their key database and then extract the CA that signed the certificate and sent it to you, unless it's a well-known CA already that's already pre-listed in your signer key database.
Okay.
In addition to that, I just want you to know if you're connecting to an outside organization from yours, then you both have to agree on which CA certificate signers you're going to be using, and then each one of you are responsible for requesting the CA signer certificate from that CA.
Right.
Okay.
And then
okay.
FCPM and exchange them.
I mean, the setup is something like the client has their own, the partner has their own preferred vendor for certificates,
mm-hmm.
and we want to go with a different one. So we don't actually go to the same CA. So we will still have different CAs.
Right.
So we'll be signing with our CA. They'll be using their own CA. But those CA have to get authenticated with each other as well.
Right.
That was the question. Like, we have to exchange their signer certificates as well. They will
right.
have to. Right.
Both of y'all have to exchange FTP, the signer certificate, to each other.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. No problem.
Sharon, you may ask your question.
When you create a CSR, the output file, especially on a Windows or Unix, comes with the .arm. And what is that same thing on the ZOS? Is that just a dataset name?
That would be a question for you, Beverly. When you create the certificate request on ZOS, on what format does it come out in?
Well, the default is, if you're using text, it comes out as text format. If you use the default Base 64 and the PK CX number 12 is in binary, is in the binary format. You can use the RACF ISPF panel to request this, and this would be the default option.
This is for the CSR, right? Certificate request.
Yes.
Okay. The other question I have is you have a certificate comes under .cer or .der. What's the difference?
Okay. It's not really a difference. It's just basically different naming conventions on different platforms. Mostly on the Unix side and the Windows side, the is generated in a .cer file, which is binary. But the .dir file is also generated mostly on ZOS side, and that is also binary. So they're basically just about synonymous.
Right. It's the ASN.1 encoding rules,
mm-hmm.
and these are the standard that you use.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Julie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.